We do want to honor the mothers, and I think it's safe to say, and until they come up with finish up that whole cloning thing, it's safe to say that without a mother, none of us would be here, right? But more than that, we would not be the people we are without a mother. Now, sometimes that's not always necessarily the person who gave birth to us. You know, there are some who are adopted and are raised by someone else, and that's their mother, who raised them and nurtured them. And that is the case with Jesus. His mother gave birth to him, but he had an adoptive father. So, you know, we have to count sometimes on people other than our biological parents. And we're thankful for those who are willing to take on that responsibility, take on a child that was not genetically theirs. As we think about mothers, I guess one of the easiest places to go is to Proverbs 31. When we think about what is written there, and I know some people say that Solomon wrote this. I know he wrote the book of Proverbs, but this is under the heading of the words of King Lemuel. So I've always believed that this last chapter, chapter 31, all of it is things that King Lemuel had. Now, I don't have any idea who King Lemuel was, but he was a pretty wise fellow, and he knew something about women and about mothers. Perhaps he knew more than Solomon did about women. I don't know. We don't know all he knew. But it says that these are words his mother taught him. This is something his mother taught him. So we know why he knew about women and mothers, because he had a good mother who taught him about women. But he goes on there in verse 10 to say, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night." I tell you what, getting up and fixing breakfast this morning reminded me of what a lot of mothers go through every day. Amen. To get up and fix that breakfast, you'll have to get up before the sun. I don't like to get up before the sun does. I think there ought to be a law against that. If it's too early for the sun to be up, it ought to be too early for people to be up. But but there's something about that. Getting up, you know, and it said this woman, she get up before, well, it's still night, and she gives meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. So not only is she up before the sun in the morning, she's up late at night working too. And I know some of you ladies have experienced what that's like, to not get enough sleep because you're caring for your household. It says that she lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, and she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her husband, for her, all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So we're talking this morning about a woman, a mother in particular, who is worthy of praise. Now notice that King Lemuel does not just say that every woman in the world is worthy of praise. or even that just giving birth makes someone worthy of praise. He describes this woman. This is not just any woman out there. This is a very specific kind of woman who does all of these things. She works hard. She cares for her household. And she fears the Lord. You know, there may be many women out there who, in many respects, are good mothers. They take care of their husbands. They take care of the house. They clean. Maybe they take care of the house better than some of the ladies here do. They have a spotless home and everything's immaculate. You could eat off the floor and that kind of thing. But they're not Christian women. They don't fear the Lord. He's not talking about that woman. He's talking about the woman who fears the Lord. And because she fears the Lord and because she loves the Lord, she's going to love her husband and her children. She's going to take care of her household. Now, certainly, she's not a perfect woman. I know this. You know, we read that like, "Wow, I could never do all of the things she did." Well, but there are a lot of things that a good mother, a good wife, a good woman does to prepare and to care for her household. And I know we don't do all of the same things now. That we've got to remember, this was several thousand years ago, and I don't know many of you probably who take hold of the spindle and make your own yarn and thread. No, we don't necessarily do those things, but you may do other things. Maybe you didn't plant a vineyard, but you might have planted a garden, or you might have done some other things. So it's not that a woman has to do all of these specific things, but he's just pointing out that this is an industrious woman. This isn't a woman who lays around watching soap operas all day and then has her husband do all the work when he comes home from work around the house. This is a woman who's busy from before the sun comes up till after the sun comes up. She's a busy woman, and she works hard. But notice what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Husbands, if you've got a good wife like that, and I make it well, I wish I had a wife like that one in Proverbs 31. Maybe you do, and you just haven't noticed. Maybe you haven't been paying enough attention. But if you've got a wife like that, you need to praise her. You need to honor her. If you've got a mother who is like that, or had a mother who was like that when you were growing up at home, you need to honor that mother and praise her for that. Call her blessed. Story is told of the young boy who, you know, we have like our Wednesday night class reports, and they have to get up and to answer the little questions, and of course sometimes it's very amusing. But in this particular case, the little boy was supposed to quote a scripture, and he got up there, and if you've ever stood in front of a crowd, you know how easy it is to forget. Just your mind just goes blank. You know, what was I going to say? What was I supposed to do? And so he gets up there, and he can't remember what he was supposed to do. And he's standing there, and he's embarrassed. And then his mother is sitting right there at the front. She mouths it to him. She says, and he's heavy. He's like, okay, what's she saying? So she whispers it. I am the light of the world. Oh, my mother is the light of the world. And everybody, of course, laughs. But we realize that there's some truth to that. We look many times to our mothers for so much. And especially when we're little, our mother is in the place of God for us many times when we're little bitty. I mean, what mama says, what mama does, mama's perfect. And when we grow up a little bit and realize mama's not perfect and she's not God, then sometimes that can be a little bit of a letdown, and you know, those teenagers then start going, well, my mama's not good as I thought she was. But we need to instead remember that the good things about our mothers. As mothers, however, there are some things that a mother can do to help herself become this kind of woman. And even if you're not a mother, or even if your children are already grown, you can still be this kind of woman and be the kind of woman that is worthy of praise. And we're going to look at one thing for every letter, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on them because for the most part they're fairly self-explanatory. M is for meekness or modesty. Meekness and modesty. 1 Peter 3, 1-6, Peter says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel." Now, certainly he doesn't mean that you don't ever braid your hair or fix your hair or wear any gold jewelry or put on clothes. We do want you to do those things from time to time, especially the clothing part. We want you to wear clothes. But he's saying that's not what makes you beautiful in God's eyes, and it shouldn't be what makes you beautiful in your fellow Christians' eyes. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price or great value. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It's a difficult thing. I've never been a woman, so I don't know how hard it is, but I know it's a difficult thing. My wife tells me all the time. My mother told me before that. I know it's a hard thing to be a woman. And I know that being in subjection to someone else is not always a pleasant thing. But here's the key. If we will first put ourselves in subjection to Christ, then it won't be nearly as hard to put ourselves in subjection to someone else. And what we've got to remember, and especially whether it's fathers or mothers, either one, if we will not show the subjection that we're supposed to show, then our children will not show the subjection and respect toward us that they're supposed to show, because they're going to imitate our behavior. If they see us being rebellious, being obstinate, being stubborn and stiff-necked and hard-headed, then that's what they're going to do. But if they see us willing to admit when we're wrong, willing to try to do better, willing to submit ourselves to God, willing to submit ourselves to whoever else is in authority, whether it's the governing authority, whether it's in our own home, whatever it is, if they see that, then it's going to help encourage them to be like that. So that meekness and the modesty, not being out flashing fancy gold and fancy clothes all over the place. That's not what it's all about. Modesty. And sometimes we miss the boat on that one. We miss it on both extremes. Some miss it to the extreme of overdressing, and others miss it on the other end of underdressing. And we find that a lot of times, that one person might say, "Well, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a skirt that short or wearing a blouse that low cut." But meanwhile, they look like Tiffany's on parade. And we've got to realize that's just as immodest as the person over here who's showing their underwear when they've been down. Okay? It's still immodesty. So we need to learn to have some modesty about ourselves. And I know this is addressed to women because it's more difficult sometimes for women than for men. But there are men who have problems with modesty too. They run around with the shirt pulled off all the time, or they run around with their pants hanging down or something of that nature. And that's just as immodest as well. But we're picking on mothers and women today, so we'll pick on them a little bit. We'll get those men on Father's Day. Then the O is for optimism. It takes a lot to convince a mother that there's something wrong with her kid. I mean, a mother thinks that child is the greatest child in the world. For the longest time, it's really hard to convince a mother otherwise. She is an eternal optimist about her children. She always thinks they can do better. They will do better. They're going to do better. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 tells us why she thinks that way. It's because of her love. Love, charity, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not vaunt itself, it's not prideful or puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly or inappropriately, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, does not think evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And that's something about a mother's love. She may be mad as all get out at that kid. And she might want to flip him from here to the other side of town. But she still loves that kid deep down so much that if something happened to him, she wouldn't know what to do with herself. And I don't know how many times a distraught mother has called me or talked to me about the problems that she's having with her children. And how she knows they can do better than that. I taught them better than that. They know better than that. And they're just not doing it. But she always is optimistic. Well, this time, they're going to do better this time. This is going to be the time they turn it around and they get it right. Where would we be without that kind of love from a mother? What if the first time we failed, everybody had given up on us? None of us would be here. We'd never have made it. But a mother keeps pushing. She keeps encouraging. She knows that kid can do it. And she's just got to keep on pushing them until they do. You know, the mama eagles finally have to just kick them out the nest and make them fly sometimes. But they know that that can be done. Then we want to talk about trust. Trust in God. A mother trusts in God. Here in Proverbs 31, it says, it fears the Lord. But and when we read that, fears the Lord, sometimes we get the wrong idea. We get the idea of being afraid and scared all the time. That's not really what that word carries with it. Now, if we're doing wickedly, we need to be afraid of God because He does have a hell to put us in like nobody else. But here we're talking about we give Him enough respect and honor that we're going to obey Him so that we don't have to be afraid. John says perfect love casts out fear. Now, he didn't mean by that we quit respecting God. He just meant we're not going to be afraid of God. And so we need to understand that this trust in God is going to cause us to love God and respect God and be obedient to God. 1 Timothy 5:1-6, Timothy is told, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brothers, the elder women as mothers. So he says to this young preacher, you treat those older women like you'd treat your mother. Now, with some young men, that would be a very bad thing to tell them, because I've seen the way some young men treat their mothers. But apparently Timothy, we know, had a good relationship with his mother. His mother had taught him to be a righteous young man. And so when Paul was able to tell him, you treat those older women like your mother. You have that kind of respect and concern and care for them. He goes on to say, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that's good and acceptable before God. Then he says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And I know he's talking specifically here about widows. Talks about the widow indeed. But let me tell you something. There is nothing about the event of a husband dying that makes a woman suddenly trust God. if she didn't trust God before her husband died, then she's not going to trust Him anymore just because her husband died. So you better start practicing that early, trusting God. If you ever want to be in the position where you can trust Him when one of those... They say on the stress tests and things, on the scale of stress, the death of a spouse is just the highest one there is. It's the worst stressful event you can face. So if you want to be able to trust God when you face the toughest event in your life, then you better start practicing. You better be prepared to do that. You better trust Him now if you want to be able to trust Him then. But this woman, he says, trusts in God and continues in prayer night and day. But then he talks about another woman who lives in pleasure. All she's interested in is what makes her feel good. She says she's dead while she may be breathing. She's eating. She's sleeping. She's getting up in the morning. She's living. But he says she's dead. She's spiritually dead, even though she's alive physically. We've got to trust in God. And women, in the scriptures, everywhere they went, it seemed like the women were more likely to trust God than the men. And we see it, I mean, we look out, well, you don't look out, I look out, but if you look around, you'll see, well, there's a lot more women than there are men. But even at that, there's a lot more women who aren't in church today than there are who are. So even though women tend to seem to trust God more than men, there's still a lot to grow there. And then she is helpful. Her helpfulness. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Boy, that goes back to that first one, that modesty again. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. She needs to be being helpful. She needs to be out there doing good works. 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10, he's talking again here about widows, and he says of those widows that she must be well reported of for good works. If she's brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet. Now, we don't generally wash people's feet nowadays. You know, we let people wash their own, but it was a different time. But we might say if she's fed a traveler, you know, if she's taken care of somebody that needed taking care of, if she's relieved the afflicted, you know, did she take some chicken soup to somebody who was sick? You know, did she call and visit with someone who was grieving? Now, those kinds of things, those are good works. If she has diligently followed every good work. And that's how he told them, that way they could know a godly woman. Because he said, let me tell you something. He said, if you get one of those, like we talked about in the other verse, that loves living in pleasure, well, you know, she may be in the church for a while, but after a while she'd get tired of that and she'll go find her a man. Especially, he said, especially the younger widows. She's going to get tired of Christ and she's going to go find a man somewhere. And so we've got to be aware of that. But we've got to set our eyes on Christ and need these helpfulness to be a part of the adornment that makes you beautiful as a woman. And then E is for her endurance. Her endurance. James 5, 10 through 11 says, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We count them happy which endure. And mothers have to endure a lot, don't they? If you were ever a kid, how many of you were ever kids? Not only, oh, come on, some of you have forgotten. I can tell, you've just forgotten that you were ever kids. All of us were kids. We may not want to remember it or admit it, but we were. And when we were kids, it wouldn't be a risky bet to say that we made our mothers endure some things. And those of you who are mothers, you know that your children have made you endure some things. Especially that big one that you married. That one causes more endurance problems than some of the others. But we know that enduring those things, and it's the process of giving birth, I've witnessed that once. And that's something that I couldn't do. I don't think I could do that. Well, I mean, I know I couldn't do it, but I mean, even if I were a woman, I don't know if I could do that. That's tough. That's endurance. But she endures, and the Bible even tells us that, hey, the pain and the endurance, the suffering of that birth, once that baby's there, she forgets all the pain and the sorrow of all those months of unpleasantness that came before it, because there's that baby. She's happy because she endured. And she sees that little baby, and it's just the most precious thing in the world. But the endurance brings happiness. And we need to look to Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And we need to consider Him so that we don't become weary and faint because of the difficulties that we face. And you can write down there Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 32 through 36, and also in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 2 through 7 also, that talks about that endurance, and particularly the endurance of Christ in chapter 12, the endurance of being a Christian when it's not popular. Now right now in our country, it's still fairly popular to be a Christian. Most people claim to be Christians, but sometimes it's not popular. And when it's not popular is when you have to go through that practice of enduring. And the R is for the rewards. Rewards that she receives. We see two of them here in Proverbs 31, that her children call her blessed, and her husband praises her. Those are two wonderful rewards in and of themselves. But there's greater reward than that in being a good Christian mother, of being a good Christian woman. For that matter, even of being a Christian man, I suppose. Any Christian has greater rewards than just the praise of others. Certainly, if that's all we're going for, we could go be rock stars and get more praise. But what we're really looking for is a job well done and to receive the honor from God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 6 and verse 6, and also verses 17 and 18. Jesus three times talks about doing good deeds. Three different kinds of deeds, three different things. And in each case, he says, you do those things secretly. In other words, you're not out there looking for the reward. You're not out on a stage hoping people will applaud you for having done it. But he says in each of those cases, your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Do we believe that? Now, I know we're not talking about heaven. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've got to suffer through, it's going to be so, everything's pain and sorrow and everything's bad here on this earth. But if I make it through, then heaven's going to be good. Did you know that Jesus told His disciples that they would receive in this life more than they gave up? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be rich or that we're going to be famous or that we're going to be popular, because He said along with receiving that, He said you'll receive in this life 100-fold mothers and brothers and houses and so forth. But He also said, and persecutions. So that's why, you know, yeah, you're going to get all this, but you're also going to get these persecutions 100-fold. So that's always nice. But He also said, and in the life to come, eternal life. in the world to come, eternal life. So the mother continues to do the things that she does because she knows she's going to receive a reward. Matthew 10, 41 and 42 says, "Whoever receives a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose his reward." But Jesus keeps track even of the little thing. Give somebody a cup of water because it was hot outside and they were thirsty. He keeps track of those little things that we do. And he's willing to reward for that. One of the most interesting passages in all the Bible is 1 Timothy 2:15. After talking about women and talking about Adam and Eve and Eve's sin and Adam and the submission of the woman to her husband and so forth in that chapter, he ends it by saying in verse 15, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, some people try to say, well, this is talking about she's going to be saved because of childbirth, because Jesus was born of a woman. Well, we're all saved because Jesus was born of a woman. That was part of from the very beginning. And some people say, well, this means that if her children are Christians, then she'll go to heaven. And no, what he really means is she's going to be saved in living her role as a wife and a mother. He's just talked about why women are not to preach in the church and teach in the church. And what he's explaining to the woman is, you don't need to be a preacher or a teacher or a leader up in the front of the congregation in worship to be faithful to me and to be saved. You fulfill your role. Bear children. Continue in faith. Continue in love. Continue in holiness. You don't have to do those other things. That'll be good enough. Perhaps some of you here today have not given your mother, or perhaps men, your wife, the honor and praise that she deserves. Perhaps some of you mothers realize, you know, I haven't been the kind of mother that deserves the kind of praise that God says a good mother could receive. And I need to change that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. You know, it's impossible for God to praise us and honor us if we will not first submit to Him and honor Him by being obedient to Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and are willing to repent of your sin, and you're willing to confess Jesus as the Christ, and willing to submit yourself to be baptized, to wash your sins away, you can become a Christian today. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.